אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Joining us now, we have Orna Trigubov, who is the spiritual director of Neshama Life. Neshama Life is an organization based in Sydney offering Kabbalah-inspired courses and events and retreats online and in person in Australia and overseas. Orna, welcome to SBS Hebrew.
Thank you.
When I think of Kabbalah, I think of the red string that Madonna used to wear, and I do apologize for the celebrity reference because I know it has a much deeper meaning than Madonna. So please explain to our listeners what Kabbalah is about and how you got involved with Kabbalah.
Well, let's start with the red string. The color red is in Kabbalah connected to the angel Gavriel or Gabriel, usually connected to the energy of strength and protection. That is why the red string is worn. And so that's sort of one way of kind of entering Kabbalah.
So it's and there to protect us. That red string is there to ward
off. That red string, it gives an energy of protection for the person. Mm. And so Kabbalah is like the spiritual and mystical side of Judaism. Most of the Kabbalistic teachings are very much based on the Torah. They're kind of like a mystical commentary on the Torah, and they're there to help us understand things like the soul and angels and the afterlife and what happens during death and all kinds of things like that, the mystery sides. So at the moment, it's just before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Jewish New Year and the Day of Atonement. And so in this month before that time, it's a time for reflection and repentance. There's a Kabbalistic overlay or a spiritual overlay which talks about this idea that our soul, as we focus on improving ourselves and working out what went wrong in the last year and what went right and how we'd like things to be in the year to come, the Kabbalists saw that as a period during which our soul actually rises into an aspect of God which is called Bina or understanding. And it's seen as this spiritual ocean or a cosmic ocean that our soul ascends to, and it can be cleansed there and be in a safe space. It's also sometimes called a cosmic womb, where we can kind of go in there and grow and become better people. And then the idea is on Yom Kippur, at the end of that day, it's like our soul is reborn anew after this period of intense self-reflection.
Is that just specific to this time?
Oh, well, interesting question, because it's also something that the Kabbalists talk about that happens during sleep. So basically, what I was just describing, that the soul kind of ascends and goes through this process of self-improvement, that's specific to when we're doing the work on tshuva or self-improvement. And the word tshuva literally means lashuv, to return, because the soul is returning to its source.
Interesting.
But it can do that in different ways. So during the 40 days before Yom Kippur, it's kind of doing it in a certain way. But the same kind of thing happens when we go to sleep. The way Kabbalah explains what happens when we go to sleep is that it says that we've got a soul and we've got a body. And when we're in the waking state, the soul is very much connected to the body and it's involved in all the activities that the body is doing. But then when we go to sleep, part of the reason we get tired is because the soul has a very strong spiritual side to it, and it needs to be replenished. So just as the body, the physical body, has all these biological processes that happen when we're asleep and really can only happen when we're asleep from the aspect of physiology, the same thing happens to our soul, that when we go to sleep, our soul rises out of our body, but not all of our soul. There's a little bit of soul that remains in the body, but most of the soul rises up out of the body and it goes on its own spiritual journey so that it can replenish itself in the spiritual world.
It's almost like a cleansing. So you're saying that's done by purpose. When we close our eyes and we go into a deep sleep, then we're cleansing our soul kabbalistically.
Yeah, and yeah. There's this whole thing that the soul, it's not only that it gets cleansed. So you could say, you know, when we have dreams and the dreams are kind of like all different bits of the day gone by in a kind of interesting different way.
Yeah.
When we do remember our dreams. So that could be seen as a kind of a washing of the activities and our thoughts that had happened during the day, during our waking state, but they get, our soul gets cleansed from all of them and kind of reworks things during the night as it goes, it ascends into a spiritual worlds in which that takes place. But not only that, it also goes up to what's called a yeshiva mima'al, which is like a learning center above. So when the soul goes up to those levels, it actually also learns. If you read some of the diaries of Kabbalists from centuries ago, they say, oh, and I had a really good idea today, and I'm sure it was because when I was asleep, my soul went up to the learning hall of a very famous sage who, you know, who passed away. That sage was teaching me during the night, and I remembered it when I woke up, things like that.
Almost like the souls kissed, and then they transferred ideas.
Well, it's really like they feel like they're actually learning. They're going to a space in which people are having discussions and like different souls, like in a classroom or in a space where they're discussing things.
Can I just veer to a different sort of angle of this discussion? Do you have to be religious in order to be Kabbalistic?
Not at all. One of the things that I've found is that when people learn Kabbalah, they get really interested in different things, like in the Torah and in the different religious rituals. For example, some people who are totally not religious, when they learn about the spiritual and mystical aspects of religious practices or festivals and things, often it piques their interest and they might want to get more interested or look into observing more. But it's not anyway, whether you do that or not, it doesn't matter. It's more that Kabbalah can be studied by people who aren't Jewish, by people who are Jewish but not religious. And of course, you know, there's a spectrum, like when we say someone's not religious, but they still might say the Shema prayer every now and then, or they might celebrate Shabbat to a certain degree. So I think it's also a matter of sort of opening our definition and people knowing that it's not all or none and they can do some things and don't necessarily have to call themselves religious or not religious.
But it would definitely help if there was some sort of religious awareness to give context to the subject of Kabbalah. Otherwise, I'd imagine it would just be so amorphous and hard to grasp. Whereas with religious understanding, at least at a base level, that information would be much more attainable.
Well, I think it also depends on the teacher.
Because
there are things that someone who isn't familiar with Judaism at all could get from Kabbalah if it's mediated in a certain way to facilitate that, if you know what I mean. So, of course, there's so many references to Jewish ideas, to the Tanakh to the different rituals, prayers, and history of the Jews. That definitely really helps. And actually knowing Hebrew really helps, because there are so many Kabbalistic teachings that delve into the meaning of the letters and the combinations of letters which make up different words. And it's really involved in that way as well.
Or you could learn Hebrew via learning Kabbalah as a byproduct.
Yes, definitely. It could definitely pique someone's interest to do that. I think you can enter Kabbalah in different ways, and it can be taught in different ways so that people with different backgrounds could understand it.
Last question. I want to know what brought you into Kabbalah.
I was always interested in spirituality, and I went to a Jewish Orthodox day school, to Moriah, and I lived in Israel for a few years in my 20s.
Do you speak Hebrew?
Yeah. My parents are Israeli, and when I lived in Israel, I learnt Hebrew much better then. But I sort of never knew about Kabbalah. I don't know, it was never really available in a way that I knew about it. And then I got very involved in yoga at the age of 19, and from yoga postures and the physical side of yoga, I transitioned into getting really interested in meditation. And then from there, people kept saying to me, oh, well, you're Jewish, you must know about Kabbalah. And I keep thinking, I actually know nothing about Kabbalah. And so I started looking into it, and I started reading books, and that was in the early 1990s, so a while back, and there weren't that many resources in those days. I found it so difficult to understand the books that I found. So I actually went back to university, and I did a Master's of Arts and then a PhD on angels in the Kabbalah.
Very esoteric.
And I really enjoyed it, and I really kind of got into that knowledge in that way. And then, so that was my journey. And then I found a group in the United States, which is called Jewish Renewal, and they very much synthesize teachings from yoga and Buddhism with Kabbalistic ideas, or they find sort of bridges. And so that really interested me, and I studied with them for a while. And nowadays I study with people because I love studying, obviously, and I've found some really amazing teachers in Israel.
Right.
And so now I study with them, and I go over to Israel twice a year to keep learning, and I run courses on Kabbalah and Jewish meditation, and I work together with a sound healer, and we do sound healing sessions based on Kabbalistic ideas, and also Kabbalah Tai Chi.
It's a way of life
with people.
Yeah. But Orna, do you find that it has improved your life, and how much is it interwoven into your life just day to day?
Well, I love the idea of Kabbalah in general, like Jewish mysticism, in terms of this idea that in Judaism, Kabbalah was seen as an aspect of Jewish knowledge, and it wasn't seen as something super separate. And the Kabbalists who were very involved in Kabbalah, they weren't on a mountaintop somewhere, as the cliche goes, but they were right in there with the community, just, you know, regular people, but they have that special interest in spirituality and mysticism. I really love that about Judaism, that there is that way of having a very different interest or different slant on things, but you're sitting together, you're with everybody. So, for example, when I go to synagogue, I go to the regular service, but for me, when I'm praying the Amidah, you know, the main mm-hmm. prayer, I go into the Kabbalah. I sort of in my mind and in my spirit, I'm integrating Kabbalistic ideas, and so it's more meaningful for me. Yeah, I think Kabbalah has really enriched my life and really helped me connect with deeper aspects of my tradition that I grew up with, and helped me make it more meaningful. And I've met some fantastic people, and I think it's a really, you know, for some people, it's it really adds a lot to their lives.
That's wonderful.
And,
to hear.
I've been yeah. I've taken some groups to Israel on Kabbalah tours of Israel. I see them 10, 15 years later, and they say, wow, that was the most amazing trip I've ever done, and this and that. So I think there are a lot of interesting teachers around the world to learn with, and Israel's, of course, full of Kabbalistic teachings and teachers of all aspects.
We'll definitely have to continue this conversation in a second installment, because there's many more
Great.
Questions I want to ask you. But in the meantime, okay. Orna Triguboff, thank you so much for joining us here on SBS.
Thanks so much.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.